Knowing Your Festival Rights, Part 2. www.own-it.org. Own It provides free intellectual property advice for London's creative businesses. Now, with the benefit of the Own It podcast series, anyone, no matter where they are, can gain an insight into intellectual property. If you're worried about protecting the event concept and production ideas for your festival, then this panel discussion will explode some of the myths surrounding festival design and management. In this podcast, leading experts discuss some of the often contentious issues of intellectual property that may affect the festival sector. It will advise on some of the best ways to copyright a concept, monitor brand usage, and get the right contracts in place. This free event took place at Shoreditch Town Hall in June 2007. The podcast is downloadable in two parts. This is part two.
Yemisi is, as I said before, running her own organisation, which is called Hatch Events. But she's also running the Festival Focus programme at CEDA, and she's coming into contact with a lot of independent festivals. So what we've asked her to do is to just give an overview of the issues that are coming up through that programme, the contacts that she's had with this circuit in London particularly, and an insight into their problems. I should also say, I think Yemisi understands intellectual copyright rather well, because on the bottom of her emails, which she sends out, she says in her disclaimer, "Look, you probably won't read this disclaimer, but it's important. Let me tell you why. It protects the privacy of the information of the person for whom the email was intended. And if it was your information that somebody else was reading, you'd sure want this protection. Please see Yemisi if you'd like to have any of your legal documents translated."
Hi, I'm project manager at CEDA, and I project manage the Festival Focus Programme. That's a development programme for festivals and also a capacity building programme. Well, through my journey, since the programme started in July 2006, and we've come across a lot of festival organisers, new festivals and existing festivals, the issues that most of the clients have been facing is the question of external partners and funders taking their ideas. Another area is internal partners taking the idea and then going off and selling it or running with it. Then we've also got funders copying and redirecting funds towards their own ideas. So for confidentiality reasons, I'm not giving straight examples, but I really believe that everyone in the room knows what I'm talking about. And there's also the question of internal partners turning into competitors. And that's really your case of you're working together, you're trying to pull an idea together, there's a lot of disagreement, and so the other person goes off and pretty much does the same event with a little few tweaks because they're doing it the way they want to do it. I'm thinking to myself, why are you guys here? And I did speak to a few people, and lots of people are here to protect a new idea. There's also things like issues of ownership, partnering with larger organisations. How can I survive? How can I get swollen? I can't even say the word. What is it? Swallowed up. And then also it's like identity is such a competitive marketplace. I mean, I haven't started festivals that long, but when I started, there wasn't anything. Now there's like six festivals that I could go to on a weekend all for free, and it's like, how do you distinguish yourself and how do you survive within that market? So I really think that's why a lot of you are here. Let's see, how does this work? So what are the issues? Well, I know this already came out, Adam said it, nothing is new. Was it the Briffa quote that's on their website? You know, someone is literally thinking of your idea right now. I mean, because the market has grown so much, there are people being paid to sit down and just think of ideas, to go to festivals, oh, I love that, and then develop it. Very, very quickly, pretty much that's what happened to Greg. But as you see through my proposal, you can't make an idea work. There's got to be meat behind it. Okay. So anyway, then the other issues are competition for sponsors and for funders and for partners. There's competition for audience. And also, people want their concept to be the market leader. These are the issues. So for me, I mean, Alex talked about the legal aspects, and I guess with my clients, there's what happens once the festivals out there in the public. That's pretty much what my presentation is going to be about. And you will be applying a lot of that to what happens before it goes into public domain. And really all you can do is control the risk. You've heard quite a few times that you cannot really protect your festival, but you can manage things and you can ensure that the concept is retained and the brand identity is retained, and you know, so just controlling the risk. Anyway, one of the first things I would think about is communicating clearly with potential and existing partners and funders. When you've got a new idea, don't go up to a stranger. A funder and a sponsor and a partner, they are strangers. You have to make friends with them first. Trust them enough to be able to actually tell them your idea. Don't get so excited about wanting to get what they can give you. Actually, feel them out before you start to talk to them. Once you get that relationship, you can actually literally tell them, this is confidential, don't steal my idea. We want to work with each other, we're having a really good relationship, and you can actually do that. Then everyone else that's working with you on this, developing this concept, you have to then communicate with them at every time. If an internal partner or a supplier or someone decides to run with your idea, tell everybody. Tell them all, and because they're all in it together, you're all in it together, you're all supposed to be working together to produce this festival, so you must announce it. Give regular reports, because then people within it, but this is before the idea's been launched, so people working to produce this, they will actually know what's going on at every step of the way, and it means that you yourself, or the festival in itself, possesses the attributes with which you're using to build this festival. Make sure you come to funders and partners at the same level as them. Don't come to them all small and humble. Come to them as, I'm at your level, you know. And they won't think to take your idea, because they will see you as a counterpart. And understand their motivation and viewpoint. The best way to build trust is to actually meet the needs of others. And then they'll want to put you on side, as opposed to putting you at another place or trying to jeopardize what you're trying to produce. Alex was talking about the concept trail. So important. Every single idea I have ever had, I have a shoebox. It's brilliant. And it literally has stapled together, written down, and I will do it in a really neat fashion. But everything's signed and dated. And it's also good for me, because it makes sure that I understand how I'm developing an idea. And then I can look at things I've thrown away, and how it's quite a nice project management tool as well. But equally, it's there for you so that in the eventuality where someone says, oh, is this really your idea? It's like, ta-da, you know, this is all I've got. A step further, which is something I've done for the ones that I really, really, really want to protect, is, and Alex can come to me about this, is a lawyer told me that if I actually put this document into an envelope, seal it, sign it, FedEx it to myself, so that if, you know, it did go to court or whatever, if I wanted to do like the rabbit out of the hat kind of thing, it would be there to open. And, you know, I hope that still stands, but that was some advice I was given before. Okay, I'm going to rush a bit more. So, high quality. This is something that Greg touched on. So, you're looking around and you're like, that's my idea. That person's just taken my idea. But the thing is, when you do something of high quality and an interesting program, it will just stand on its own feet. It doesn't matter if it's the same name. It doesn't matter if it's the same performers. It doesn't, all these things. What you've got to, we'll go into that later, but you've got to keep in your mind, high quality is what will survive. Realize your power. When you're looking at partners and funders and all that stuff, they're with you for a reason. Example, so the local council wants to engage with the Chinese community, and you for the past 20 years have been the leader of the biggest Chinese organization, and you're putting on a festival. You go to them for support. They're not going to bin you, because you have their audience, and you must make sure they know that at every step of the way, so that they then don't turn around and decide, oh, we can put on our own Chinese festival. They can't, because you're the link to the community, or you're the one that has, you know, you've got the power to make this festival actually work. Have a really strong USP. Taste Newham, Taste East. Sorry, I thought it was Taste London, but it's Taste of London, okay? It doesn't matter. that they all have tasting from them. They have completely different audiences and they meet completely different needs. They have completely different sponsors and have completely different reasons for existing. They have their own brand, they have their own identity. Be flexible. When you do come to someone with your concept, don't be so rigid as to think that your concept is going to stay the same. As soon as you bring on anybody, they're going to want to... You're going to them saying, would you like to be involved? So why are you being so rigid? You have to be flexible. You have to know what you can be flexible with. And that's where you have to make sure you're working with people that can be in sync with your ideas. Meet the needs of audience and funders. These are your key people. If you have got the audience in the palm of your hand, people are just going to want your first... I mean, we're talking about partners and funders are going to have no choice but to stay with you and not try to maybe take over your concept. Or they will want to pump money into your brand because it serves their purposes. I can think of... there's so many little village fates that have been going on for so long. How do they survive? Because they keep with their audience, they give the audience what they want, they talk to the audience. You know, there's like, they do duck racing because the cheese thing, there's all these kinds of like bonkers things that go on, but they're doing really well. They have an audience. Turn your competitors into partners. Doesn't mean that the competitor has to be involved in your idea or festival. So, very, very quick example. If you're doing, a Turkish festival, and there's someone else doing another Turkish festival, yours is in March, theirs is in April, yours is in East London, theirs is in South London, you could potentially come together, and when you're going for funders or anything like that, instead of saying, oh, we've got 5,000 people, and the funder's like, pfft, you could say, actually, because they've got 5,000 and we've got 5,000, or we've got 20,000, they've got 20,000, we've actually got 40,000. And that is, and the respect that you build between that relationship, therefore then stops that in the back of your mind and gets you to concentrate and continue with developing your festival whilst managing the risk of your competitors. Okay, training, really important. Really try at least to get some training on marketing and fundraising. Understand your funders, where they're coming from. Understand your audience, where they're coming from, how to reach them, how to engage with them. The challenges to get to put all that together and to make sure that all works. And I was thinking about, I can stand here and say all this, but that takes a lot of time and takes a lot of money and resources. So I was thinking that with cash flows, you need to have diverse income streams. You can't, you mustn't, I shouldn't say that, but you know, don't have a situation where you're relying on one source of funding, because if they turn around and think to themselves, oh, I can do that, or maybe I don't want to fund you anymore, you know, that's it. The bottom's come out of your idea. So try as much as possible to have as diverse income streams possible. And diverse doesn't mean £10,000 from that person, £10,000 from that one. It could literally be 300 from that person, 50 quid from that person. You know, these people have a say in what you're doing and they have power, not just money, they have influence in other ways. Being reliable, because to sustain a festival, you have to be a good planner. This is the fundamentals of event management. Okay, timelines, discipline, understanding your limitations. I started with club nights. I wanted to do festivals. I knew that I was just on my own. I had my limitations. Then I made friends, got partners together, got volunteers, so on and so forth. And as that worked, I was then able to build and grow within my need, my resources. Continuity, because as we know with festivals, to make them sustainable, have a vision, have a plan, and you know, keep thinking. What was Greg was saying? It's the long game. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you know, create manageable projects and work with your resources. And then because there's quite a lot to do and think about. Think about your skills, shortfalls, so you can kind of fill those with volunteers. And volunteers isn't an 18-year-old person who, you know, needs a job because they, you know, don't know what they're doing with their life. Volunteers are any age and any discipline. I mean, I've got a person working for The Guardian who's really bored of their job and wants to do the marketing for one of our events. Fantastic, brilliant. You know, that's like a hobby. So there's loads of people, professionals out there who are looking for something to do. So that's volunteers. training. Train yourselves up in the areas that you feel that you're not so confident. Not in the bits that you're confident about. Refresher, yes, but train yourself in those areas. Doesn't mean that you're going to be the expert, but at least you'll then be able to know what you're looking for, what expertise you're looking for, because you'll have a better idea of what that aspect is. Mentors. I have a mentor. Absolutely brilliant. Am I doing this all right? Is this okay? Oh my goodness, I'm really worried about this. It goes all the way from the professional to the personal. And equally, mentors, especially if you get really good ones in the community, if someone does something like try and take your idea and they might happen to be quite big, you know, they can sort of like be like a big brother or uncle or whatever it is. So, you know, and they're really good for your confidence. And I've put some legal support websites, because I really think it's important for you guys to access as much free information as possible. Confidentiality agreements are there, and better understandings of the things that have been covered in this panel discussion. And my thing that I would like to leave you with, that I really think that you should be thinking about when you're launching your festival, or even trying to retain your festival, is relax and enjoy it. Be realistic, okay? Just understand that people are out there looking for ideas. Oh, first job I ever had, absolutely brilliant. The guy, it was an advertising company, and the guy was getting really frustrated. It was like, why are you trying to come up with new ideas? Just steal them. And I was like, what? So we literally, all we did was steal ideas. So just be realistic. That's what happens. So don't be too, you know, just... It's just too important. Anyway, work within your resources. Try not to be too grandiose. Otherwise, that's where you'll really, really fall into a lot of hot water. It's, you know, it's all about risk management. Communicate all the time to everybody. Before the concept started, I don't know, you could even like do your MySpace and you could tell people about it, your potential audience. What do you guys want? I'm thinking about this. Don't be scared of people taking your idea, because you know that yours is going to, you're going to put it together really well. It's going to be so good that it's going to last. It's going to engage with your audience. It's going to meet the needs of your funders and your partners. It's going to be like sure platform for people to want to sit on with you. Be flexible. When you bring people on board, they have ideas too. You probably go up to them and you say, oh, would you like to be part of the festival? Because I recognize that you might want to, I don't know, engage with the Somali community. And they're thinking, yes, we do, but we've always wanted to engage with them through workshops, and you're doing a music event. So, you know, if you can put in workshops, then do. If you can't, then don't. But you have to be reasonable and flexible. People have ideas. If they want to invest in it, you've got to give them room to do that. Have a USP. Absolutely no point in doing a festival for the sake of it, is there? There's no point doing a festival event for the sake of it. So you need to have that thing, because that's the magic behind your marketing. That's the magic behind everything. And that's the 30-second spiel that you can use to sell to people. So you must have a way to define yourself from the market. And meet the needs of your audience. So, so, so important. So important. You could literally be rolling cheese down a hill. Okay? So... And then realize your power. You started your festival or your event for a reason. What was that reason? That's your power base. So make sure that you write it down, analyze it, break it down, and make sure everybody knows and is aware of your power. So that's me, and there's contact details there. I wasn't clever enough to print them out, but if you'd like to fill in the evaluation forms when you leave and the registration documents, I will email you the presentation. So that's it from me. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask Alex whether Yemis's FedEx envelope trick works.
It does to some extent. There's two issues with it. If something doesn't have copyright to start with, doing that won't give it copyright. That's just a way of basically providing evidence of the date when you actually created the piece of work. The second thing is that it's very expensive to get to the stage that you're actually in court. You've got the harsh crowd and you're about to open the envelope and see what jumps out of it. sometimes it could be a good idea to send that documentation to a law firm who could stamp and date it and basically give you independent third-party confirmation of what you created on the date you sent it to the law firm. So although it is useful as evidence of when you created something, it can be a bit cumbersome in getting to the stage of opening the envelope, either in a meeting or in court with painting catches all over the place. And
and you open it and you find it's somebody's photographs, your aunt in Miami or something. The other thing that I just wanted to ask you about was that you were saying that internal partners is an issue.
Oh, sorry.
That people who are working for you might have an insight into information that you've got. In the legal sense, though, if you're working for an organisation and you have an idea, I always thought it was the organisation's idea. Is that right?
It depends on what you mean by working for. If you're working for an organisation as an employee, the first owner of copyright in your work is the company. So there's one issue there, really, which is it a copyright work that you're producing? Is the idea of a copyright work? It's a good idea to have employment contracts which are quite stringent on this, which say that any ideas relating to this will not be developed outside of the company. I think it's always a good idea to take a belt and braces approach. So if you're working with somebody who's an employee, even at that level, it's good to have clauses on IP in an employment contract. If you're working with freelancers, it's even more of an issue because anything that they make, which is a copyright work, the default position is that the first owner will be the freelancer and not the person who actually commissions or engages them. So it's always a good idea to have a freelance agreement in place and to make sure that they assign the right. And one of the biggest issues is with logos. If you've developed a logo for your event and you've engaged a third-party graphic artist to actually produce that logo, if you don't have an agreement in place, there's a fairly strong argument that the owner of the copyright in that logo is the freelancer,
yes,
and not you yourself. So although it may be possible to imply terms which state that the first owner is in fact the commissioner, it's not a good legal ground to be on. It's always best to just get a written agreement in place and to make sure you set out that agreement who owns the rights to the work.
Okay, so be thorough.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to ask the question. If you're in a position where you came up with the concept and you designed everything yourself, what would be the best kind of contract to negotiate with a potential? Would it be something that, would it be like a consultant or would you be an employee? I don't know.
With whom?
The council, I have this idea for a festival that they're interested in, and I'm trying to negotiate something with them, but I don't know what would be the best kind of contract to go for. I don't know what the best position for me would be, because it was...
Well, I think looking at the position of somebody who's organising a festival for council, the best way to structure it would be for you to be acting as a freelancer in relation to the council, to state that you own as much of the rights as you possibly can, in preference to the council. So rights in the branding of the festival, rights to certain proportions of the income. It will depend on a case-by-case basis on what the council is willing to let you keep. I don't think it's a good idea for you to, if you want to retain any rights in the festival, it's certainly not a good idea to accept an employment contract with the council. And I don't think that they would usually look at offering you such a contract. It would usually be a contract for services, and the service would be organising the festival.
I've got a question for Yemisi about the people who are on the Festival Focus programme. And what was their reaction or feeling about relationship to, say, public bodies like councils and people that they were speaking to?
Okay, because without disclosing, unfortunately the situation's not very good, and that's why I guess I based the presentation more on managing relationships and minimising the risk, because the long and short of it is they won't really give you the room to sign various different documents. You know, that's just the dream, and that's a professional dream that never really happens. And there is, it's your attitude that comes to it. I mean, just to quickly ask the question, they haven't had very good experiences and the relationship hasn't lasted as long as they would have wanted it to have lasted, and there's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't have. But I personally believe, and through discussion, is you go with the professional attitude and you refresh the relationship, you keep the relationship going, you understand that you have power, where you have the power. You also understand that you vocalise to various the other partners and all the people involved what your place is, where the ownership of the brand, the concept is coming from, so that people are in no doubt who the originator is. That seems to be the issue, is the originator. When things are established and you want to keep relationship with the funder, that's where, you know, managing funders and sponsorship, that's where that comes into play. And that's sometimes a relationship will just die, and you should have as diverse income streams as possible and just let go and be realistic.
This is, I don't know whether to say a question or contribution to that whole issue around, you know, taking ideas to people and internally stealing it. We've just had a very, very nasty experience, basically, with, I would just say it basically, is the mayor's office. In fact, this is not even my or our organization. I actually involved with African organizations. We have a network of African diaspora organization. We actually proposed to have an African Day celebration. Had a meeting with it, you know, and all that. After several approaches and all that, meetings, the next day, you know, and we've not had, there wasn't any response. Sorry, I'm just talking about this because of the anger, actually, that still boils in me around the whole issue. But basically, they took the idea, ran away with it. The next time, you know, the next thing we had about it, Africa Day celebration, advertised everywhere. I know that because actually this is more of a community organization and all that, I feel that, I don't know what I to say, the need to actually go to the political masters and actually not to allow people internally like that to get away with it. I don't know, you know.
I understand that wasn't a question, but another thing that I want to reiterate from the presentation is flexibility. If you desire to work with a partner so much because you believe that they can make your event or festival as you would want it to be, you know, again, walk away, just be realistic. Have faith in other partners and other ways to get to the bigger picture. Your idea is a strong idea, and you have to be able to nurture it. You have to be able to think to yourself, you have to have plan B, you have to plan, you have to have eventualities, risk assess it. Okay, so I can't work with these people and they're doing something else. Therefore, that does not mean that you can't yourself go and do your own thing and find other partners and continue with that and learn by all those lessons. This is how I deal with things. I like to get things out in the public as fast as possible because I have so much faith in my own abilities as an event manager. That doesn't matter if all the events are exactly the same name or exactly the same content. Mine will be better because I will have produced them with heart, with an actual USP, and it will, and a really good audience development. So if you have come across that experience or do come across that experience, don't then let it put you down. Just get to plan B, plan C, or, you know, just keep going.
So just before that question, is that a branding issue, though, about, you know, your experience there? You wanted to do one particular festival.
I think it's concept.
Else?
It's concept and ownership and branding, all of it ties in. It's a festival, and as Alex was saying, there are so many aspects of it. You've got title ownership, you've got music rights, you've got concept, you've got brand, you've got the works, and you have to really manage all those in a way whereby you have the risk assessment, the eventuality. So if I wake up one day and someone has got the title of my event and I haven't launched it yet, you have got your dummy name and your other dummy name that you can go to, and you just have to be flexible and relaxed and just kind of like go, well, I did want it to be called that. I want it to be called Olympic what? Yeah, Olympic. I want it to be called Olympic whatever. And then I want it to be called East, but, and then, oh, but, and I've gotten to Taste Newham. Oh my God, that's rubbish. No, but you get to Taste Newham because that was like name C or D on the list. So it links with everything.
Okay, sorry to cut you. Question here. If you did have evidence that you were the one that came up with the concept and that you did provide these people with like a poster or something like that, what, would it be the best strategy to go to Plan B, or would it be the best strategy to actually take legal action?
I think it's yours.
It's a difficult one, because if they've got a poster, it's fairly easy to not infringe the copyright on the poster. All you'll do is use a different poster. If it's your concept, the only way you can protect it is if you disclose it to, whether it's the mayor's office or anyone else, to disclose it using a confidentiality agreement. If you've used confidentiality notices, then all of the material you've provided to, I'll use the example again, the mayor's office, or to any other partner, if you use confidentiality notices and you make it clear that the concept is being disclosed in circumstances which show that it's confidential, then it may mean that there's something that you can do about it. In terms of taking court action, however, I don't think that the decision should ever be taken lightly. It may sound counterintuitive for a lawyer to tell you not to spend money on lawyers, but if you're starting a festival and the overheads are going to be quite high anyway, the last thing you want to be doing is funding litigation, because it's not cheap and it takes a lot of time and it's very, very stressful. And instead of putting your time and effort and money into starting your festival, you're spending money on legal actions, which isn't good. So, I mean, I would say prevention is usually better than cure. And if you've got all of these confidentiality notices, you've got people signing confidentiality agreements, then you've got something to ward them off. You've got a reason for them not to rip off your concept. And you're doing all you can, basically, to stop it from happening. If they still rip you off, you have to take a practical decision as to whether you're going to take legal action, because it does cost a lot of money, and it is very, very stressful. Just to move backwards a step, when you're actually pitching your idea, what you have to consider is what you're actually selling to these partners. You know, are you selling a name? Are you selling an established brand? If you are, then great. You know, you're going to get all of these partners. And if you're selling, an obvious example is something like Glastonbury. If you want sponsors for Glastonbury or sponsors for the Reading Festival, it's not going to be that hard to get sponsors. They're going to be queuing up to get their name associated with the name of your festival to become a youth product or whatever it is. If you're selling your energy, your ability as an events organiser, as I'm sure you do, then people will want to engage it. If you're selling your links with different groups in the community and showing, look, I can make this happen, then you've got something to sell. You have to ask yourself before you go into any of these meetings, what have I got that I can sell that they can't do for themselves? If they can't organise it themselves, if they don't have the energy, if they don't have the contacts or the links, then great, they'll take you on. But until, if you're going in cold, and you don't have a brand, if you don't have all of these links in the community, if you don't have this experience of event management and doing it successfully, if you lack these things, you're going to be more at risk when you're selling your idea. Unfortunately, in those circumstances, it may also be more difficult to get people to sign confidentiality agreements, and at some point you're going to have to take a leap. and you're just going to decide whether you want to go ahead, whether you want to disclose your ideas. And it is risky, but it can be...
But I find that, like I was saying, to minimise your risks, you know, get in... Sorry, to minimise those risks, get in partners with track records, get in really good, a music festival and you've got a really great artistic director, sell that person, get that person in. If you haven't got the best links with a certain community that you're trying to represent, you should be spending your time building that relationship, not disclosing your festival. It's the means to an end. And then that's when you start to disclose the festival, once a lot of those things are in place, because it is about not going to court. It's not going to go to court at the end of the day. You know, it's all about minimizing the risks, so that you can retain your brand, you can keep things going, you can get the concept moving forward, being flexible, being reliable, just running a really decent, effective festival, I personally believe is the best way to retain your concept and your brand, even before it's started.
End of part two. Visit www.own-it.org to download more podcasts and to read our disclaimer. Thanks for listening.